Eric, they want to get out selling insurance to their friends.
They start going.
Thank you.
Sir, your husband's hat, sir, your bed, all those things came off the table.
Well, let me just see this for a minute, so I don't know what the hell I put on this.
Why did it have to be handled in the White House? What in the name of God is it? We don't have. It shouldn't.
Why doesn't he clean it up?
It shouldn't.
Why doesn't Larry do something?
It shouldn't even get close to the White House. We shouldn't comment.
They ought to do something about it.
Absolutely. But it's
absolutely false information.
But it shows how that damn press out there.
It's terrible. Is that easy? I know. See what I mean?
Because I really believe this to be true.
It's not right.
It's just there's too much circumstantial evidence here.
Well, I would like to see this build up into a case. Give it a scalp. Is he famous?
No.
But give that a scalp. Say, all right, here's a good example of what your press does. What do you think we should do about it?
Yeah.
Let's play around a little. Not the White House level, but goddamn, let's give him a little kick. You just give him and say, all right, let's have a little fun with these people.
But it is amazing. I recommended that you stay away from it yesterday when you asked me about it, and I didn't believe the fragmentary reports. But it is astonishing how these guys otherwise the message from the Pakistani hasn't come in yet, because he comes by courier, and then they have to decide whether,
yeah,
because he sent it in code.
Yeah.
He said it's all. I sent a summary to Funker of what went on, and he cabled back. He thinks the six will be all right. And he cabled back saying that it's looking like negotiated. But I don't want to mislead you. I think the probability is that they'll turn it down. But it is the first time in the negotiations that they've put themselves into a posture where if they want to, they can talk seriously.
Right.
Up to now, all they have done is make demands of what we must do. And it gets us into a position where we will know clearly by middle of July at the latest whether this, and if there is a negotiation, it is now so set up that it almost certainly will conclude this summer.
Oh, sure has.
If there is a negotiation, they will not drag it out because...
Oh, well, we won't drag it out. Yeah.
But even they... The curious thing is their major incentive is to get it done before the Vietnamese election. That's one of their big incentives. So the thing is actually working well from that point of view. I've got the British squared away for the visit, and I've accepted the 25th with them. In the 2 days.
The Chinese entry will be interested.
That will be in today, but that will be around the 10th. And so it all plays together very well.
We offered them the chance.
Yeah. Well, I've offered them when I thought I was going to Korea on July 1st.
Oh, yes.
It's got to be on a weekend because I've got to disappear from Islamabad for a day. And I'll say I'm going up into the mountains, which is indeed true.
Islamabad, it's too bad to be out there.
No, and we'll keep the airplane at the airport and I'll fly in a Pakistan plane. So it's too daring for anyone to think that it could be, particularly with the plane sitting there. I'll be back. The ambassador will go to the president's palace. The president has a summer house in the mountains. He'll go there and take phone calls. President will say, I'm going to his house in the mountains. That house in turn is in an area close to foreigners. So that no one can follow us.
There's an airfield near the house.
And there's an airfield on the other side of the border.
Will you fly to it?
I'll go to the airplane. Yeah, there's an airfield nearby. I'll go to the airport, though, but I'll go from the airport to a military airport, which is close to foreigners, and hop across the Himalaya. That's only an hour and a half flight.
Good.
Well, he said, the message is positive, and The only thing is that I have this
morning. You see, sir, we need this. We know the ambassador's going to keep his mouth shut.
Mr. President, they need us so desperately, and we've kept them from so much disaster. Without you here, we've kept the Indians from attacking them. We've kept the State Department from cutting off their economic programs.
What about the Barkhauser?
Yeah, he's that fellow who was in Panama who hates the State Department. He's your man. Force you the job. We forced him in. What we would do, what these ambassadors proved, though, is the crucial importance of having your men.
Yeah.
Fallen, Rush. We could never have broken the Berlin deadlock without Rush.
That's right.
He made it possible. Bunker in Saigon, he isn't technically your man, but
Bruce.
He was. Bruce in Paris.
Bruce is doing what he's told. Nice thing.
No, Fallon owes everything to you, and he's got no place to go in the department, so they've been cutting him up, his consul general in Dhaka.
Oh, yes, I asked.
Has been. Russians were very respectful on foreign policy yesterday. It was none of that smart alecky thing of they did in the Laos operation. And I think you came across in a very, as all the commentators also said, even Novak.
They think we may know more than they do, that's all. That's why we don't tell them a goddamn thing.
Exactly.
We're not going to tell anybody anything. We're not going to tell, certainly that, that Brzezinski thing is, it's a very clever deal, though. He's of course, a Democrat. He's playing this line. Not because he wants a job, in my opinion, as you suggested. More because he's trying to get the idea planted now. You watch, they're going to build it up with the Democratic nominees and so forth and so on.
Make us do it.
Make us do it. It'll have to go to everything we do.
Yeah.
They want to be participating. That's why everything we've done, everything we've set, has got to be set before that goddamn Democratic convention.
Oh, yeah, but that's good. That's easy. And,
like constantly.
I think that by next July.
I'm not going to do it either. If anything happens after their convention, I have nothing to say. I'm going to handle it exactly what President Johnson did. Now, as far as you, the fact that I'm taking it, my mom, Jesus Christ, I would never agree to the bombing call if I'd have been here. Never. That's a goddamn effective point I made last night. I said, look on the prisoners.
Yeah.
We've been around that track before. I said President Johnson agreed to have a bombing. I agreed to stop the bombing in return for discussing peace. We've been discussing for 2.5 years. We're not going to make that mistake again. It's goddamn true.
That's right.
And what they're up to now, too.
Another advantage of that commission is that it gives the Democrats all the information. Because we'd have to give them a lot of briefs.
Oh, we're not going to have any goddamn commission. We're not going to give them any information. Good. Keeping it a lot closer to ourselves.
It's got to, because next year there'll be murder out of there. They'll all leak like crazy.
Yeah.
But if we do even 2/3 of the things that are now running down the trip, I think they're going to have...
Well, we can see
it. Been happening up to now. A little slower, more slowly than we thought, but essentially along the lines of the game plan. Quite crazy, Mr. President. If this, by any chance, if this should all happen, if you should bring off the two summits and the negotiated end to Vietnam, which I don't even dare to dream of, but if by chance, at the end of the summer, that you should have succeeded in negotiating an end of the war in Vietnam,
you
would have broken the establishment. Because no one can claim that anyone other than you did this. The bureaucracy sabotaged you every step of the way. It's been an extraordinary performance. After the first 6 months, state has in effect sat on its hands on Vietnam. We don't get any memos. They don't really sabotage us. They just stand aside.
They haven't
done a damn thing. The press has been vicious. Intellectuals have been vicious.
It's terrible.
And the Council on Foreign Relations group has been, well, that is...
Jack McCoy, that whole bunch. None of them have been with us in Vietnam. We get little private notes now and then.
I have not contributed to the tone. When they want to help, they do what they did on NATO. Then they can gin up the editorials. That's when they showed what they can do.
I know. We realize how strong they are. They're always against me before.
I'm pretty sure now I'm getting really quite confident because there are just too many things moving.
Well, look, the point is that the China thing is going to help. But it goes, it's an up and down. The Soviet thing. Is the only real center. Not all the others have to bear the war thing. We have to get in the war business.
But Haig actually thinks that we have a better than 50-50 chance of negotiating an end, but I'm giving it advice.
Let me suggest what I think might have to do. One intriguing possibility for Peking might be the point is that if you say to them, look here, we want you to wind them up and squeeze them and so forth, and so we have a great deal with them, that's one thing. We're concerned we can give a goddamn where it's wound up. You remember the Russians wanted to play a part in the India-Pakistan thing, and they set up that goddamn conference over there. Remember that?
Yeah, Antarctica.
Okay. In Russia, though. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I've been in touch. Now, the Chinese, if they really want to move big in the world scene, if they've got to be squeezed, it's a very, very dangerous game. You might want to play this. You know what Peking means?
We can see how it works.
We have to play any game that is necessary in the war, though. That goes to the other extreme. These people turned down that sovereign. The next meeting is the last one, Henry. The next meeting is the last, unless there's going to be an agreement. I'll tell you why. We cannot be hamstrung in terms of bombing them. We cannot be.
I agree.
This summer, and I'm not going to do it.
No, I agree with that, Mr. President. We'll know the next time. If they're moving towards an agreement, it can't be the last one because they cannot settle it next time. But they're
not that close.
That's right.
You can see what it means to them. They realize we've never hit them as long as they're doing this.
I think that's their motive. They are not hurt enough by these occasional raids to make that the difference. We hit them twice in a year.
They will do more.
That's all right, but they don't know that. And I don't think that's their motive. I think all the intelligence we get is that they have a morale problem.
Yeah.
In the North. That they have a massive supply problem. We got an intelligence yesterday.
Supply.
Yeah. That the hospitals in the southern part of Vietnam are still jammed with wounded from the Lam Son operation.
They have to be.
And that they're having big problems with medical supplies. That Lam Son operation really was a meat grinder.
Spoiler. Just as I said, it's like March 21st, World War I.
Right.
In a very different way. The British, the Germans won the territory and the British won the war.
Now, do they want to hang on for another year or two, taking more punishment, at the end of which they may not be much better off?
Mm-hmm.
This is their big choice now. And do this in an environment when they don't know what we and the Russians and we and the Chinese are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they might become a sideshow. After all, as you are more successful, look at Kraft yesterday in his commentary. Kraft, in his commentary on your speech, on your press conference, said that he couldn't fault you on it. There was no credibility gap in the press conference. It was well done and so forth. Well, he no more would have said that 2 months ago, but you said exactly the same thing. Now, when you do well on China and Russia, I know with the public it isn't a home run necessarily.
No, sir.
But with these writers, they can, it's implausible that you totally screw up Vietnam and do well everywhere else.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I'm looking at it from Hanoi's point of view. The reason they could set up Johnson and what they've always tried to do with you is to put you in the position of the ogre, of the man who everywhere in the world is creating tensions. To the extent that that's diminished, that they become a sideshow, they're losing psychological leverage. I'm giving you the view from Hanoi now, not the election view. So as they look at it, they have a tougher problem than this yelping around here suggests.
Well, the other thing is this, Johnson was not believable when he was saying he was for peace. Everybody knew that he was a mean, ruthless son of a bitch. People know that I'm ruthless, but for the most part, on the peace issue, due to the accident of my birth, it's pretty goddamn hard to fault me, you know. I always rub it in that average person do he can see. I mean, people sometimes, I mean, drives me with people like Buchanan up the wall, but that Quaker mother and grandmother, and that's a goddamn truth. They were absolutely violently opposed to my entering World War II. Hell, everybody else in our family were conscientious objectors.
Now you,
anybody. I went into the war. I was the only one in the whole damn family, 9 children, and that means about must have been 100 grandchildren that went in the goddamn war.
You know, another minor straw in the wind. I had a phone call 5 minutes ago, just before I came in here, from the publisher of the Saturday Review of Literature. They want to do an editorial praising your foreign policy. Now, that's not going to elect you.
It's very important.
But the Saturday Review of Literature is run by Dorman Cousins.
Yeah.
That's right. But they want to do an editorial praising you. And I think that's all the announcement from that point of view. I don't know what it does in terms of public opinion, though.
Well, we've got those things pretty well positioned. It's all an announcement, too. We're playing just the right way. We're not promising anything. We're saying we have a commitment at the highest level to work toward an agreement. It's still very hard. We can't guarantee it. But this gives us greater hope than we've had previously. I hope, though, that the Russians have a hell of a stake in the agreement, and we got a hell of a stake in the agreement. And we don't get much screw them. We're going to China. That's just as cold as that. And if the Russians don't go, we go to China this year, too. We may have to. I'll tell you why.
I think
you've got to make big plays now. Big plays have to be made, and they've got to be done with the demagoguery in mind and all the rest. This is the time. I don't want to make any big play that screws up the game. In other words, throw a bomb in there, set the pass and lose it. But on the present time,
don't have to settle that because I think we'll get the Russian one, but
if you get the Russian sign, that changes the whole game.
I think it would be a mistake to go to Peking this year from every point of view. Quite frankly.
I have no desire to go at all. But I can only say that you can't let this year go out through. Let's suppose this. If you don't get a Russian sign, you don't get a salt. You don't get any progress in Vietnam. What you going to do this year? That's going to be awful rough. See, you got to figure that game out, too. Because this is the year.
Then you might
this is the year we must come off of this year higher than we are today on the foreign policy issue.
Then you may want to go to Peking.
I'm thinking only in terms of failing in all of the directions. If, on the other hand, for example, when the guys asked last night, why don't we announce that we're going to quit sending draftees? Well, he's right. That's what Bob Buckley's writing and all the rest. Goddamn
November 15th, you can do that. November 15th.
All right, fine. November 15th. That's a hell of a long time.
But if you get Saul,
let's suppose we do not get Saul,
if you
do
get
the summit, do not get anything with regard to Vietnam, then what the hell do you do, Henry?
That's
the point.
That's right.
You really got to make the big play. You got to gamble and risk like hell. If, on the other hand, you don't, you get one of the others, China goes over. That's the way
we are on the same wavelength then.
That's what I mean.
If you fail
Exactly. It's because it could, I would prefer the latter due to the fact that it would mean much more to us. But this year, it would mean a hell of a lot on the China thing, the way it would do if we do fall. We'll know on the summit. We'll know on the Vietnamese.
It will be good.
In a month. All right. Then if you go to China.
Your agreement, what I
thought. What I would do would be to go in about November, but it helps. And I know you can write it until November. See my plan.
Announce it in November. Announce it now.
Yes. Announce it in November.
The problem with the Chinese, frankly, this is a funny embarrassment. It'd be easier to get it for November. They will, the best, if it turns out we're getting Vietnam and the Russian summit, then I think what we should do in August is only announce the Bruce trip to Russia.
China.
To China, and then off the Bruce trip in November, announce the summit to Peking. If we get the Russian summit, because I don't think we should jeopardize the Russian summit by a Chinese announcement.
I agree.
On the other hand...
Tell the Chinese now.
Oh yes, we'll tell the Chinese it's done. On the other hand, if we don't get the Russian summit, that will be tough to negotiate, but they're salivating at the idea of getting it announced now. They want to announce it now. Hell, I'll guarantee you, if you instruct me to come back with an agreement to announce it within 2 weeks of my return, that will be the easiest negotiation ever conducted.
No.
But we may do that. If there are...
You see my point.
Many of my hesitations would disappear, Mr. President, if I now tell the Vrienden, we must know on the summit. If the Vrienden turns a stop, then the Russians have no reason to complain that we went to the Chinese. We gave them the chance.
Well, we played the Russians fair and square. We said that we played this assault announcement just straight down the middle. We've given them credit and us credit as well. That's not, I have no plans.
You did it beautifully.
Now,
I'm going to invite the Vrienden in for a lunch late this week or the next week.
When?
Friday.
This week?
Yeah.
And lay it on the line.
I'll say we've
been out. I agree with
you. It's just got enough.
You okay?
Yeah.
How you feeling?
I feel fine. It always takes yesterday, I must tell you honestly. I felt pretty beat. But I'm...
Al, you're young. How old are you?
I'm 48 now.
Oh, it's got a birthday. I ran into President Olin. I was 48. I'm much younger than I am. Yeah, oh, we go over there. Oh,
you go further over.
I'm not gonna make them. That was an easy question. I go out yourself and say, yeah.
What's the rest of the question?
The right question.
So the people afterwards read that as, I believe it's in the House, Mr. President, and also where he gets.
No.
He wants it from the previous.
Huh?
Afterwards that you had said you wouldn't be visiting Vietnam before the election, which confirmed that you would be going over right after the election. So,
yeah. So,
congratulations to
Controlled by the communists. But that was a superb answer. That was a what?
being up there would have studied enough to know what the hell the answer about the ILO.
Yeah.
I bet the Rogers could have answered.
That's true.
He wouldn't have.
Well, what do you said, some bureaucrat or there's some, you know, government guy that's been working in that particular area.
But maybe that's irrelevant. As I say, it didn't give the opportunity for I didn't know better whether his comment was right or rather dull. Of course, he says that about all of them, doesn't he? It's his general line. But burning their ass though, I wouldn't comment on the politician.
That, and that's a classic Haggard dance like that.
Yeah, he loved. But you know, that burns their butts because they know that they want to drag me into that. They can't now. Answer for every damn thing you can, and then you have to put in those goddamn answers. And I shouldn't. It's going to make any point for me to have to spar with Muskie.
And when that comes up, now you just say,
well, I'll look at my last press conference. Yes, sir. I've covered that. President's press conference is not an appropriate forum to discuss politics. That's a question. It's a put down by him, too.
In a way, it was good that it was in the McCloskey question rather than a
Muskie
or Democratic question. It just sort of completely eliminated that whole.
It may, I don't know. What did we have as your point?
No, that's really the interesting thing is this press that you'd think it would have died down, but it became clear last night it hasn't. This press obsession with the May Day business, the rest of demonstrators in there. They just ain't with the people. Like John Ehrlichman was saying this morning, the mayor of Washington told him that he gets a standing ovation at every group that he walks into now, regardless of what it is. White, black, mixed, business, labor, social, anti-social.
Sir John was not disturbed about the fact that there was such a hard line.
Oh, God, no.
I didn't think he would be.
No, sir. Nobody was.
Sure.
Yes, sir. They're...
How do you get a scallop?
Oh, well, I've talked to scallop.
It would worry you. And I understand that. Let me tell you why the press is obsessed. And this is their credit, the press should be the guardians of civil rights and equal rights.
Lunatic about this one.
This one, they're crazy. Because what the hell is the option? To let the goddamn government be stopped.
Well, then, right, sir. Nobody's rights were violated. The whole point was their rights were protected. The fact that they aren't being convicted is proof of that.
I made that point. He says, well, the reason why I'm releasing is that the rest was illegal. I wasn't true. All this shit, apparently, I don't know about this.
Well, I'm enjoying this whole pitch. There's always been, you know, that nobody has a constitutional right to some arrest.
I was tempted to use that, but I knew that would be a tremendous headline.
And we processed three times as fast. They processed the cases three times as fast with 10 times as many cases as they did in the Pentagon thing, you know, 5 years ago. Working of the process rather than any
the right to recognize those was just good to be harassed on that subject.
Everybody felt the general thing was happening was that they had made a strategic error without knowing the press had because of their obsession with this thing. They kept putting it in. The only guy, and it's interesting, the guy who made it was Schultz. He said, the one thing that I wish he had done on about the third or fourth question there on that subject is I wish he would have gotten mad. See, sometime, once in a while, he's got to get mad, and there was the perfect opportunity. They were riding on something that didn't make any sense, and it didn't to the viewer, and he could have just put his fist on the thing and said, look.
I've answered that question.
I've answered the question.
You people obviously disagree. I feel this position will let the jury out there put too many people judge.
Do they want their seniors? Do they want their feet torn up by hoodlums and vandals? Or do they want the police to exercise this kind of...
Here, of course, is the difference, you know, in this analysis, you know, like Bland, President, I mean, they talk about the strength of Muskie, I mean, and so forth and so on. I'm not so sure. That now and then, and that they don't want you to step up and show a little temper. You know what I mean? It's human, you know what I mean? It's a goddamn, I'm a little pissed off. You're just, but you know, the other problem is you look too mechanical. You look mechanical and cool. Good temper and so forth, and I didn't hear.
Well,
they would never forgive us.
Yeah, that's what George said. If he'd done it, they would have written, you know, Nixon loses his temper.
I wouldn't have lost the first time. I think he's got a point. I could have said that's enough of that.
No, I think
it wasn't one that had any particular excitement. That's trouble to come. themselves because they were high. The I don't select the questions.
Now,
well, let's never ever get this across. I've told him 100
oh,
times.
Sure. And then
I don't select any questions. I have any son of a bitch's hands up. I don't select it. I didn't, for example, I didn't call him Clark Molyneux last night. I just went down the line just to call him who the hell was there. 21 of the sons of bitches. I don't think we're getting enough out of that problem. I don't think we get enough out of the fact that there are no planted questions. This is unrehearsed. There are no, you know. Oh, well, Christ, forget it. They aren't going to write it. They won't write it.
Let's go.
Forget it. They won't write it.
Anything about the fact that there were
absolutely no questions on domestic affairs, except on that, and the one question of busing, you know, housing, the blacks, nothing. That's right.
Everybody just shakes their head about that.
There they are, working their ass off on these things. You can't, you know that. Of his book, two-thirds of it was on the domestic issues. One-third was on the foreign policy.
Well, and he's not doing his sorting right on what questions might come up.
No. He had to cover the domestic issues because he figures if I might get a question. But my point is two-thirds of them are in the field of domestic affairs because those are the questions.
The range is much greater. You can pinpoint the foreign policy question.
Foreign policy things are very simple. They're solved.
There are only a half a dozen things they know enough to ask a question about.
Hmm.
On domestic, there's an infinite range of things.
They do check with Carruthers on the picture when they do change the atmosphere.
Okay.
We got to be sure that that decision is not making Mark good alone. He's a good boy, but he's just, you know, he's the hired hand. Does he make a decision about camera angles and all that?
No, he works. He and Carruthers worked out a plan. You know,
okay.
All good does is check it out to be sure it's done the way that
I think he's fine.
To do.
Let me put it this way. We've got Carruthers because he's supposed to be the best producer of the business, and I want to be goddamn sure they don't pull the kind of thing they did on that morning show where I'm sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And your idea, too, Bob, is very good. Maybe we're using a roster. Maybe we can find one that looks better. It isn't black. Maybe one that shows that seal a little better. But, you know, I really think there is something to that. I'm sure glad we've gone to it, though. We proved our point with the naked mind. Now we can sit up there and
And it works fine,
people like
it, because it makes it. They get a camera angle when you come in that shows you have nothing in your hands when you're walking in, and it shows the back of the roster, so they see there's no paper there. So there's, you know, any question anybody might have about notes is completely eliminated on camera.
Yeah, good.
Although nobody's even raised the question, so it's not a, I don't think it's a question of that.
Sort of nobody cares. I have a couple of things. If you're going to take a toll on the pool, I'm going to suggest that you do sooner. Leave out the China questions now. Don't ask them. The China questions, I think that you ought to have, what can you run at? Could you run approval, vice president approval?
Approval, vice president approval, Colonel E.
Press conference again.
Yeah, press conference reaction. We were going to get a SALT reading because we haven't done anything since SALT. I'd like to find out if we get any, if there's any recognition.
Have you approved the president's initiative? Have you heard of the president's initiative? Break the deadlock with arms limited. You see, SALT is what really screws it up.
Yeah, you can't say so.
I never do.
I know, it was like last night. You said nuclear arms.
Well, here's what I have in mind. I'd like to put in two really meaty questions. Did you hear the press conference? And you used as this many in his press conference, the president took a strong line of supporting the police. Police arrests of peace demonstrators who enacted vandalism or who broke the law. You know, who engage in acts of vandalism, who try to stop the government, put it that way. But don't load it too much, but just enough so that we know it approved of the action and arresting demonstrators who
opposite ever?
So I don't know where we...
Because they're still drugging him.
They're not going to get any reaction on assault, so.
I'd like to find out that.
But after all our ability about China and so forth, you guys been a big help. Nope. Didn't do any good. And here we are in Salt. Didn't do any good. It's some. It's a 30 wide, I don't think it's going to be. I read the news summaries and you read them. They talk about, Henry says, that there are questions from our perspective, sort of bullshit. You read them.
Little pound,
day after day after day with negative stuff. That's what folks are saying. Correct or not? Right or not?
Sure. Yeah. Why are you engaged in the immoral war in Vietnam? Why are you unconstitutionally arresting people in the streets of Washington?
Right. Why are you on me going down? No, I don't mean about the question, but I mean about what's been on since SALT has been basically negative, not positive. Goddamn little positive. I mean, it's basically...
Most of our veterans got on last night, on both NBC and CBS.
Which one?
Just sensational. Oh, we've got these guys now forming this Veterans for a Peace with Justice, or Veterans for...
They're going to see me. Are they here?
No, we don't want to get them to see you yet.
Yeah.
We don't want to...
Who are they?
Well, it's this guy, he's got a beard, one of them, and the other guy's a Navy officer who just got out. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Crew cut, real sharp looking guy who is more articulate than Kerry. He's not as eloquent, he isn't the hand that Kerry is, but he's more believable. And he was on both networks and a big story in the paper this morning on him.
Good.
And this guy says, finally, this Navy guy, who was in the same Navy unit Kerry was in, said, I was in Vietnam for a year, which is 8 months older than Kerry was. I never saw an American commit a war crime. Kerry says every one of us who was in Vietnam saw four Americans commit atrocity.
Yeah.
So I never saw one. I'm sure there were some committed, but I didn't see them.
Get a hit.
Anyway, sir. And then he said, I want to understand that they mobilized 1,000 veterans and came down here. That doesn't speak for the veterans. We have 5,000 members of our organization now already. We just started in the last couple of letters. And we represent the great majority of the 500,000 veterans who have joined the VFW, and we represent Vietnam veterans. And we represent, I'm sure, the great majority of the 2.5 million who have served in Vietnam, including 1 million who are still serving in the armed forces. In other words, they don't all run back out of Vietnam and get out. A lot of them are still serving. And he goes on this positive way, and he says, Kerry doesn't talk for us. Our president speaks for us because we are too busy at our job.
Hey, stop here. He's about to finish watching the sun.
This guy has this great line. He said, we weren't here demonstrating because we were working at our jobs or going to school, or 1 million of us are still in the service. So we didn't have time to come down here in the mall, but we want to be heard, and the person who speaks for us is the President of the United States, as he speaks for the majority of people in this country. And it just, you know, this guy just zaps it through. And their town, Coates put this together. NBC and ABC, NBC and CBS both used it. Gave them a good chunk.
That's what it matter, what they use. On
the air.
Where?
On the air.
How did they
have the press conference? You know, the press conference. And see, we've got them scared to death in this. NBC used 1.5 minutes, CBS used 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Why do we have to scare to death of
medium time? Because of rainwater demanding equal time. See, that ploy has got them all shook now. And so when these guys call a press conference, they run out of something because they're and this guy now is gonna move on Kerry. He's gonna move around the country. And this is all put together by this kid, Mel Stevens, that we had, you know, the veteran we had working during the veterans demonstration that we hired at the VA, who is just a hell of a little firecracker of a guy, who is just real cranked up. And we're getting some of this, though. And
I'm good. Well, I didn't read the basic, I read the summary through the press conference interview with Chris. Well,
this thing was...
Henry, I just want to ask you briefly, what in the hell is this Donaldson thing about?
This what?
Donaldson thing about, General Donaldson. You know about General Donaldson? They're going to
from the airfield?
Yes.
Yeah, I know what it's about.
But what in the name of God did they allow me to go on? I didn't know anything about this. Is this Laird again?
Well, no.
Is he Army?
Army, yeah.
What in the name of the man? You got that madman?
The general?
The general? Or yes. Basically, was he shooting people because this is an area where they've been, women and children have been,
this what you should have been
blowing up our people. I mean, I just don't believe in this goddamn war crime thing.
Well, first of all, it happened when he was a colonel.
All right.
Second...
That's fine.
No, ahead. I just want to indicate... secondly, it was in one of these gray areas,
yeah.
In an area where the people had been in one of these combat village areas.
Yeah.
In fact, it was...
But why do a couple of people, pilots, ran off? What in the name of...
Well, that's bad enough, but they preferred charges so the army couldn't squelch them. I went to Westmoreland myself, but they preferred charges.
Right, and it comes out today?
I don't know when it comes out. It's been in Time magazine already.
I don't know. Well, I prefer to put it out today. I'm sorry for
a... Of course, the goddamn army has this masochistic streak. That Westmoreland is a disaster because then they get on their high horse.
Rizzo and
there's great morality. I don't know whether a strong Secretary of Defense and Army couldn't have squelched it.
We're all wrong about all these things. We just made too many mistakes.
That's right, on the
green. My name is wrong. Our failure to build up the fact that I was, until this press conference, that I was sort of arresting demonstrators is wrong. Is there a perfect but not realized that I didn't play or not? Or maybe he doesn't. I saw it. You see it, you just see a pole, Bob. That's the whole point. Nobody sees it. Because, you know, I know that what happens is that they... The press doesn't want us. The mistake the press made in that conference last night, they thought they were making a puncture themselves. Getting the president for her. Goddamn, every time I went up and told her, Julie, she's a very sensitive child, and I said, Julie, I wish I'd asked 10 more questions about it. I said, every time I could repeat that I was for the police. Can't you see the people that are for police around the country, aren't they?
That's all this.
Everybody else cares. Somebody else squealed about the fact that we tried the law and order issue in 70 and it failed. The hell, it did fail. Well, what hurt us in 70 was the guard that you had on the economy.
Well, everybody else got on the law and order issue.
Everybody else
got
the law and order
issue.
We're an American flag.
That's right.
Well, and
God's sake.
The
only mistake.
Right around the police car.
If we made a mistake. If we made a mistake, it's to surface it too early so that they could join us.
What failure is that we didn't draw the issue.
No. Well, we didn't draw it on them and call them for misadventures. They were later. I should have made the main speech much earlier. It should have been done more properly. And of course, that one, unfortunately, is can't blame them for this. Because, be as it may, with our issue is right, it's still right, because basically the American people feel that way. You know, it's a curious thing. I told you he was terribly shaken by cocaine, terribly shaken, because he's very vain and very proud. He'd gone to this damn little school. It's not a little, pretty big school, the place he went. They used to have great football teams 30 years ago. Remember? Andy Kerr.
Oh,
he's gone to play Duke once.
I remember.
And they expected to be national champions. Duke beat them under Walt Slade, but they were great. But anyway, here's cocaine. Bill Rogers goes there, and the goddamn president of the university, 15 minutes before, turned completely around, and after he said that the valedictorian was not going to have a confrontation, had it. Now, Rogers, I told Henry last night, mistake, was not doing what Henry did at Johns Hopkins. He should have walked out. He would have become, for the first time, a really strong secretary. Bill sat there, and he was pleased with the fact that at least, you know, some of them came. He first said, some of them said, good, glad you came. So there's my file on the stand. He said, I must say, I was terribly disturbed and distressed to see the people there. Some of them were wearing red pants, headbands, no coats.
weak and simpering and disgusting. And then he went on to say, then he'd gone to out here to the memorial and he said, you know, I think we ought to do West Point, probably do more events for there's patriotic music and so forth for each and that. That was West Point.
Oh, yeah, no, West Point was a great place.
Was it played properly on television?
Yeah, we
got it played upbeat, or it just played very upbeat. It got the troops marching by, the band playing, your voice over. It was played.
I was amazed. In fact, I thought they would try to play it out and emphasize the piece.
You didn't see the TV, though.
I saw the TV Saturday night.
Before you went to Europe. 4 minutes of it.
I went to Europe Sunday morning.
Wow.
And it's...
Oh, that's right.
And I thought...
Here's Bill Rogers. The guy's always talking about what young people are thinking, you know. What are the young people...
And we've got to be on the side of the young with the Chinese representation.
Yeah.
He made that issue.
Yeah, the young people are all for recognizing China. Well, that isn't the right reason. They asked about the polls last night on China. I said, I said, we're not going to make our policy for it because of the polls we're going to make because of our interests and the interests of our friends and our allies. Period.
Hey,
you know, I thought that went off well, Henry. The idea of saying that there's been a significant shift in the attitude in the UN on this issue. We therefore are consulting with the Republic of China and our other third countries on this problem. And we will have a position.
And
we will make a decision in 6 weeks, which gives us a running room. But also, the idea being that puts Chang in a good position.
Puts Chang in a good position. It also slows down the state. They had a paper over here by which they wanted to announce it on June 20th.
No, I told them we couldn't do
it. I know, but it didn't filter down yet, and that was just for Peking. See, Peking is going to reject it no matter what we announce, which is all right, but we ought to see their cards before we make any announcement.
No, the way I'm going to do it, of course, is this, is that I'm going to tell Bill I want you to do it. And I don't want it done before we meet with you. I want you, because after you, we're going to need a positive story from the Millennium Building. Let Bill do it. There ain't no money. There's a mixed blessing in this one. A mixed blessing.
He just shouldn't overplay it because we've got to be...
Don't worry.
Make sure that on the big game. But
all right.
But you have handled that beauty. But that was a beautiful answer. It also gave the impression that you're careful and deliberate. Well, what helps with folks, it's the general impression they get whether you're on top of the situation. And also those damn newsmen, I think it trickles down after a while.
Maybe.
Well, I thought, for example, yesterday the way they asked questions on foreign policy, they were very respectful. They did not bait you the way they did in
Hong Kong. They're on their guard on the foreign policy. They don't know what the hell is going on. And they've been so wrong.
Try to read something new in there, every statement on Vietnam. The bias changed. The basis for getting out, I can say a thing different. Not one goddamn thing. I said to prevent a communist state.
Well, to get Joe Kraft to say on television that so far your policy on Vietnam has worked is unbelievable.
You know, I'm going to have, for the first time, a question planted in the next TV conference. Since I'm going to have it done, I don't know how. A war question. I've got to get some long-haired bastard to ask. I don't know who asked last night. Who was it?
I remember the question on the bomb.
You considered the real question is morality, and that's it. Then I answered, and I said, well, I grew up in a tradition where I consider all wars immoral. And I said,
wasn't that Warner that asked him?
Huh? No. Was somebody sitting behind him?
Who, Warner?
Warner, Jack Warner.
No, Jack Warner asked him. Anyway, I said I deal with Jack Warner has something about what POWs. The fact that they only 13 had agreed to go back. You know, it was well to remind that press corps that that's exactly what happened with the Korean military. Do you remember they wouldn't go back? They wouldn't go back.
They held up the negotiation classic.
Hell of a problem. Yeah. Also, if anybody wants to draw any conclusions, Why is it that prisoners don't want to go back to communist countries? They never want to go back. 13 only wanted to go back out of 570. But I said, well, but the moral work, it's got to be in. It's got to be in for America. I'm going to get it next time. I didn't want to do it last time because there's not time. Right, of course, press conference, and it's going to be a little bit of force in our lives. But I mentioned World War II. I said, after World War II, I visited Germany. I stood on the top of a ruined building in Essen, and for miles around, everything was flat. Hundreds of thousands of civilians were killed with American bombing. I saw the same thing in Berlin. I saw the tragedy in Dresden. And in a sense, I think we could all say that one, the bombing in World War II was immoral, and two, that the war was immoral. But would it have been more moral to have Hitler conquer Europe and maybe the world? That's the question we have to ask. And then you go on to talk about this. The real question of morality is, we talk about the bombing. Bombing, which is in South Vietnam. Yes, it's a tragedy when anybody is civilians are killed in war. But on the other hand, it is certainly immoral to send Americans abroad and not back them up with our air power.
But I think
I think the moral war thing is the one that you just got to get on the basis that I got in the point last night, of course, that as far as the morality is concerned, is that would it be moral, for example, we talk about the morality of trying to stop communist takeover, it would have been moral to allow communist takeover, and to have the bloodbath in South Vietnam that they had in North Vietnam, where 50,000, according to the Catholic Bishop of Da Nang, were murdered, 500,000 were starved to death in slave labor camps. Can you imagine? Is that the same thing would happen here?
That's our argument, that this war is immoral, and more immoral than most wars, more than any war we've ever fought,
yeah.
For the single reason that we have been unwilling to commit our resources to win it.
Right.
His argument is that there's perhaps never enter any war unless you're willing to commit everything you've got or everything that's necessary up to everything you've got.
Mr. President, if you had been in office in 66, 67,
right.
The war would be over, and there'd have been few...
Let me say this. The point of view... You don't think I mean what I'm saying, but I know this, that if we don't get a Soviet, that we don't get any Soviet breakthrough, we don't get the Chinese, we can't get that ensemble, we can't do anything on Vietnam. The situation is deteriorating. About November of this year, I'm going to take a goddamn hard look at the whole card. As long as we still got the Air Force,
I know it,
I still got the rest. I'm not talking about bombing passes. We're going to take out the dikes. We're going to take out the power plants. We're going to take out Haiphong. We're going to level that goddamn.
Mr. President, it would make you...
Enough.
I think the American people would understand that.
They will support it. They'll squeal to hell. But the point is, we're not going to go out whimpering, and we're not going to go out losing. That's one thing.
Mr. President, I would enthusiastically support that. And I think it's that I think...
The moral war thing, you see, that's the question of the ages. You know the most brutal war was the Civil War. What Sherman did going through Georgia, if I were a Southerner, I'd hate the North for the rest of my damn days. It was horrible. Rape. Burning. Looting. Horrible. Sherman said war is hell.
Now they made animals out of their soldiers.
They made animals out of their soldiers and... They were great. Now the point is, but however, you say Lincoln was immoral? Yeah, a lot of people did at the time. But the point is, would it have been more moral
to have the country divided?
To have the country divided?
And slavery.
And slavery existing? That's the question. I'm glad you know this moral war thing. Let him give me one more whack at that. I'm going to knock the doctor's brains off.
Mr. President, there's one other thing you can say. Before you get to that part of it, you can say, first of all, your record proves that you have reduced those operations which you can. There's no bombing, there's practically no bombing going on in South Vietnam anymore. 85% of the bombing is in the uninhabited areas of Laos. These people talk as if we're slaughtering civilians.
Yeah. Get me his figures again, if you will, on the I want solid figures on how many of the North Vietnamese, it's been another president, but I need it here, how many they killed in North Vietnam, and they just quote the Catholic Bishop of Da Nang, and how many died in slave labor camps. I know that there's
well, they
issues.
Killed 3,000 in Hue in that one week.
I'm not talking about Hue. I'm speaking
I know what
North Vietnamese did in North Vietnam
when they took over.
And
they took over.
And they killed that many, and how many they started at that. Now, goddammit, we know it happened. And we're going to say it. Second point is, how many civilians they killed in South Vietnam? I need those figures again. The best solid figures we can lay out.
And also, I ought to give you the
time. I want one other point. I want to know how many Japanese died in the nuclear bombs. How many? In the atomic bombs.
Yes.
I got Nagasaki in the race. I think I know the number. You know, that was a terribly cruel question for Pearl Truman.
Frankly, Dad, I'm not sure. The only sense there was to hear that us.
Yes. The other is a very much greater point. You know, the way Truman justified it, the way Eisenhower justified it,
he talked about it. One American life.
At least a million Americans would have died going into the Japanese homeland. No question. So the question, would it have been more moral to have a million Americans die or go to Japan? You know, this crap about morality, of course it's moral. Everything, the basic thing is war is immoral because people are immoral and they're aggressors in the world. Hitler was a vicious son of a bitch. And somebody had to stop him, right?
Absolutely.
That's exactly the same. And moral argument that he's a bastard, as it demonstrators in Washington. The moral question of, you know, do you arrest him or do you let him tear the city?
Yeah, well, that's right.
Who's
although I thought you handled the answer well yesterday. And the only other point we could have made is that we actually, most of the bombing is in uninhabited areas, so that we don't feed this idea that we're killing civilians every day.
The point is that they don't believe goddamn name. I agree.
It is true, though.
I don't think there's an argument about it.
Yeah. But these bastards who in 1968 were saying, shift the bombing to South Vietnam, now we have end the bombing of North Vietnam. Now that we've shifted it not only out of North Vietnam, but out of South Vietnam too.
They want to stop in Laos and Cambodia, but incidentally, can we get out this Cambodian story today?
I just talked to Scali when you called me.
Did Scali see the
point? Yeah. Oh yeah, I showed him the report.
Yeah.
What did
you say he's going to do?
Right, I don't think...
He talked to the tents, get them to say something. He talked to the people out there to find a way to get one great network guy to say, here's a hell of a scoop. You're talking about the wrong thing, boys.
Yeah.
Sure, when you're withdrawing, you're going to take a hell of a whack. But they are withdrawing and getting the hell out of it.
If these casualties figures are right, if they really did kill 1,000 North Vietnamese, then they've suffered a hell of a blow.
Yeah. But let me say, I just think you've got to know we've got a hell of a card ready to play. I do not intend to preside here and go out. Remember, we haven't done a goddamn thing right around this place in terms of accomplishing anything in the domestic scene. We haven't fired the right people. We're still screwing around with permissiveness on the welfare thing. And we're giving more food stamps to loafers and doing all the things that are wrong. And we're running the chaos a little better. It's about all we're really doing. On the foreign policy thing, we're running the chaos a little better. Unless we get these breakthroughs. Now, we get them, fine. And we get them, fine. We don't get them, though, Henry. The one last thing we're going to do is, so if I, as long as I have breath in my body, you survive, God, we're going to, you talk about turning right. No, it's no idle threat.
Right.
Before it was. Because you knew we had the hope of starting to get it around. Right now it isn't. Right now there's not a goddamn thing to lose. Nothing to lose. We're going to turn right. We're going to hit it and bomb the living for Jesus on it.
Yeah, that's what we need from turning right at that point.
But
that's what we need from turning right.
If we get thwarted on swords, and if we get thwarted on these Vietnam talks, and if you then turn right with the defense program, and the bombing of the North Sea, you're extricating the forces, but by God, you're not going to let them be chopped up. You'll have the record of having offered a ceasefire, plus a troop withdrawal, You have the record of having offered a Soviet deal.
Yes, sir.
I think...
Then you've got to give it up. Then you got to go to the country and arming against the Soviets.
You could go to the country, you drive the liberals up the wall, but they're against you anyway.
You just might mobilize a big chunk of the country.
I think this country is not ready to be taken by the liberals.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's just very, very, very heavily loaded. 50% of them still with you then, in spite of everything that's...
Well, 50% is very good.
Yeah, but they haven't anybody said 50% against what they would like to see, which is the millennium. If you run it against somebody else,
there's so many things I don't know why.
It's because Bob, they're just I'm gonna have to call it a genre. Got to be tougher on the domestic front. I am not a liberal. I am a conservative. I want them all to understand this. I'm opposed to these goddamn liberal classes. I'm simply against them, and all I get in front of me is some other liberal initiative. The environment, all that bullshit. We're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on food stamp programs, that consumerism, all that. All crap. It's wrong. It's wrong. We're playing a game in which we don't gain a goddamn thing. And we are doing the wrong thing for the country. Oh, we say, we're keeping the issues from them. Bullshit. As a matter of fact, the whole revolutionary thing, I think, is wrong. I think at this point, it's very cold-bloodedly. All it is going to simply give more money to inefficient people to spend. Revolutionary, with the requirement to cut property taxes, is right. Revolutionary to give Lindsay and these other bastards more money to raise the services.
As I understand, our representative was just the other way. Really, our incentive is to come to raise taxes because there is a bonus in effect for those who maintain a tax base. It's very small. I know it doesn't do much, but it to the extent it does has any effect, it goes that way rather than the other way.
Oh, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's wrong.
Yeah.
Raise taxes.
Yeah. We're telling them hold up your taxes and you get more revenue share.
See, instead of saying cut your taxes.
The country at this time needs to hear it.
And also, it's what I believe. I'm so goddamn sick of these liberals. I'm telling you, they're a craved, decadent lot.
And they hate you, Mr. President. There's nothing you can do.
Oh, but the pension.
To win them. And besides, they're a disaster for the country, which is more important.
Boy, do they hate me.
Whenever we stood to them last October, they were on their knees. They were crying all over the lot about our dividing the country. The minute they got a little their head above water, they were chopping us to pieces without mercy, without any thought of unity.
They want power. The liberal wants power. The conservatives, we just do right. Now, John Ehrlichman's got to learn that he's got to cut this shit out. Now, we breathe in the existence of the peace out of it. John's a conservative. The only thing he's liberal on is that goddamn environment. He just forgot the clean blue waters of the Seattle Basin. Started thinking of folks. He realized the issue isn't where it's shed.
Now, I hate to tell you what's going to come in the issue for environment's hot. I walked, talked with Benham last night on our, other activities, and he said that thing shows. He said it's the most incredible thing he's ever seen. And it's high. 90%.
That's
high low concern. Stuff. Well, he says they've asked it. I said, I don't believe that. He said, I don't either. But it's absolutely there. It's something. He said it's a phenomenon of the media and the pressure. He agrees with us. He thinks it's not worth the damn. And I said, well, all right. I said, well, all they're concerned about is air, right? Mainly. He says, no, air and water both. So, but why would anybody in Omaha be concerned about, or Lincoln, Nebraska be concerned about air pollution? They don't have any air. They don't have any better, but they read every day about it being happening in any other places, and they're concerned about that because it's the factual thing. It's a thing that's been caught up. He said, you've got two enormous pressures going.
Yeah.
You're going to have a hell of a time, but one is the environment, the other is consumerism. He said, the consumerism thing,
they're against business.
They are. And he said, the industry business is going, they've been on the same
business
thing over the years. said there's just a steady decline with respect to business.
That's the median.
For business organizations and everything else.
Decisions
for individual countries. We do it for the top 50 companies, and then we do it for business as a whole and everything else, and it's just all
right.
Like,
what's the matter with business? I'm taking this.
Well, that's his crusade. He's selling the damn well better.
They are
he said that people used to buy a car and there was something wrong with it, and you go get it fixed. They don't do that anymore. Now they scream and holler that the car should have been
fixed. I don't always follow the rules in this case. I may not follow this.
I know you may not. But you've got to look at it as and decide whether or not.
Welfare. Do you have that in there?
Yeah, he didn't give me all that stuff. I just jumped on the car, I asked him about it. It isn't done yet. He hasn't released. It won't be done in the end of the week.
I don't want it to be given out to this. Would you have to give it out to this crowd over here then in the domestic council?
I don't want them to go freely on this environment. Should,
you know, I'm not going to do it. There's nothing in it for us. Not a goddamn thing. So you see,
talk to them about holding it.
And hold it for me. Just hold it for me. Why not? Is it for the government? All right, I will determine, Bob, what gets out. You understand? I'll give it to him. Take a look. Why don't you and John get together, but I don't want that to go out. I want your strange kids.
Go ahead. Two quick things. On the study of the position of the United States on the Republic of China on the United Nations, the study will be completed in 6 weeks, but we're not necessarily going to announce that in 6 weeks.
No, that's correct. And we will announce our decision at some time after that, right? And that we have, as far as the 6 weeks are concerned, that this is not a study, it's consultation. It's consultation I am simply giving them, that I asked them to try to complete it in a 6 weeks period. We hope to, and we, within 2 weeks after that, within 2 to 3 weeks after that, we'll announce our decision.
I can just say, Peter,
I can say within 2 to 3 weeks after that we will announce our decision.
Here's the end of July.
It's the end of July, early August, that's clear.
Okay.
Yes.
That's approximately correct.
Then, do you want me to get into, in any degree at all, the question of the May Day arrest procedures, or just leave it where it is?
I know they asked enough about that.
I'm fussing. There's one thing that the premise of Deacon's question was totally wrong. I just spent the morning on this, where he said they're being released on the grounds that they weren't properly arrested.
Oh, he's got that.
Incorrect.
They're released on the grounds that there's no case against them.
No.
You arrest an individual, and if they arrest them, they are not being released because they were not properly arrested. That's why I ignored the goddamn question. It's too complicated for him to understand. I thought, you know, I just wanted to say that I just told Bob that you and Scally and Fine and the others and our press key people who constantly said, well, go to the gridiron, go to the White House correspondents and be a good sport, and these guys act better. I've never seen them more disorderly and disrespectful than they were last night. That was a pretty shabby performance on that front. It hurt us.
the question, argue the legality. You never argue the law. You argue the facts.
The fact is, I just came right back to the point that, well, if people come in and do demonstrations and so forth, just repeat the goddamn charge. That's all people remember. Nobody remembers whether or not that. These press guys are going to get into that. But I would say that the president supports the thing that constitutional rights were. I would get it whether they violate the statute. Of course,
well, that's what those were going to be my first lines. I'm not going to litigate this. The breaking
out here, not litigation. I'm not going to litigate this. Case. This is the rest of the time. Quite often, that one question had a totally inaccurate. Why don't you just say that you've attacked the attorney on a totally inaccurate assumption? That is, that these people were not released because they were getting properly arrested. Then you could say that any arrest where an individual is found not guilty is an improper arrest. That's the premise of that question. As a matter of fact, more people are found innocent than are found guilty who were arrested.
The constitutional guarantee is not against arrest, it's against it applies to the court procedure.
We don't want to get too much. That's hard for you to say. I don't want to say it. We don't want to get too much in that. We don't want a bunch of people running around and arresting. I mean, they arrest the driver.
That was an unusual circumstance, and that point has always been made.
The point is
that president, what they did,
the right party, all of it, but let them get it. Look, I want them. Don't try to get them off of this. Keep them right on. Just because, why don't you say this? Gentlemen, the president recognizes that most of the members of the press corps disagree with his position. You can quote me directly. Disagree with his position. In which he defends the actions of Washington police in arresting those who came here with the express intention of stopping the operation. His responsibility is quite different from yours. His responsibility is to keep this government down. That's a constitutional responsibility. He intends to meet that responsibility. As he indicated last night, he will take the same strong measures, a combination of firmness and restraint, to deal with any individuals who come here with the express intention to break the law, to break the peace in the name of demonstrating for peace abroad, to break the peace, to break the law and stop this government. He disagrees, he respects your right to have another opinion, but he totally disagrees with you. He totally disagrees with those senators, including Senator Kennedy. I slap that in. Senator is represented very often, but you can say it by Senator Kennedy. Throw that. That would be very, very good with that. Very elected by Senator Kennedy. He realizes that there's some in the Senate, particularly Senator Kennedy, who also expresses it. He's the only one who would have been upset. Plus, he's
the other. I thought I'd do it while I'm asking about this.
I don't want you to keep this. I want to keep this going.
I thought I would read that. I'd say, gentlemen, most of you were out of town during this period of time. Say, gentlemen, to put this in context, let me just read from the manual, the Mayday manual. And I'd have two paragraphs in there where they're very clearly stated. And there it can. And I say, now I'm going to respond to your questions in that context.
And then, I want you to say, the president approved the action of the police before they did. I said that last night. I approve this plan. I supported it completely. And we will do it again. We intend to meet this kind of illegal action designed to stop the operation of this government. We're going to meet it again. We found the right combination of firmness and restraint. Curious. They just made it right off. They say, well, is this constitutional wrong? You see, Rob, the reason that this is what you were talking about. Most of our liberals around here, I will tell you, and there are not quite a few, perhaps this is tough, this is very constitutional bullshit. As far as this is concerned, on this issue, we are on the right side. What we have to do, and also the side of the folks, for one side, that keep it on that and don't get off the issue. Keep talking about it. Let them whine over it.
Let them whimper about it. Keep making another lead. President, firmly faction. If they come again, we're ready for you. We're ready. We're ready for the moves. Now, this country is not going to be ground to a halt. This government is not going to be ground to a halt. The wheels of government are not going to be ground to a halt. It's fine. People will come to Washington with the express purpose. Publicly publicized of stopping the operations of government. The free society can't operate that way. The wires the president received this morning indicate overwhelming support for this position by the side. Wires can always correct.
Sure does. That every single one.
Wires and calls is a overwhelming thing.
Sit down.
Fine, I'm sure they didn't care about the reaction. They know that. They didn't know about Saul, China, are you gonna whether or not we're gonna bring home telephone poles from Vietnam, all that crap. They don't
Yeah, what are you doing about those telephone poles?
That's a good question.
I know you answered it better. I thought you answered it very strongly.
Well, strong. That was good music for me. It was
it was very strong.
Yeah. Otherwise, bringing the men home on the telephone poles.
The just one quick thing on the discussion you announced.
Forces, right?
Of NATO.
Yeah.
When we will move forward to discuss negotiations with the Soviet Union. We're not covering any.
And other countries. And other nations.
And other countries.
And other countries involved. See, there are other Warsaw Pact countries now. The question is when, isn't that, and that's what they're going to come at you with. I would simply say, well, gentlemen, this consultative process will take some time to complete, and I'm not going to indicate when it is. Just it will be done in an orderly way, in proper channels, at the appropriate time, and we'll inform you.
Absolutely.
So, orderly way, proper time. This involves a very important decision. We will, when President Secretary Rogers returns, we will be meeting within our government to develop, to further examine the American position, which we've already developed, but to further examine. And then that will come. But as far as timing is concerned, we're not going to disclose the timing. We're not going to disclose the channels.
Or the forum.
Or the forum. That's right.
Yeah, I wouldn't say disclose. We're not ready to talk about it.
We're going to proceed in an orderly way to consultation. We're not going to talk about the channel.
Disclose implies we know. We should say we're not ready to
talk about it. We're not going to talk about the
form. I think you should say we're not ready to talk about it, rather disclose, because disclose means we know it.
Oh, I see, right. We're not going to discuss. And then the travel thing.
That's just simple.
Well, the travel thing is, I just want to be sure there's no credibility problem here. Because we may have another midway meeting.
No.
On the other hand, he said, are you going to Vietnam? I said, no.
There's nothing in what you said last night that you agreed.
Midway is in Southeast Asia.
Midway is the United States.
It's certainly not Southeast Asia, Mr. President.
You handled it perfectly.
Is there no credibility problem?
Mr. President.
This, it's really amusing, isn't it? Why are they on the side of demonstrators? Why? Don't they ever get their tires slashed? Do any of them live in Georgetown? Do they give a comment whether the government keeps running? Do they believe that rabble really represents the best interests of this country? I had no reference to whatever. Perfect complainers running around here, I don't care at all. People running around naked, you know, saying, screw you and fuck you, doesn't bother me a bit. I guess when somebody comes in and breaks the law, he needs to go to the jail right now.
Perfect understand that one of them was trying to explain this concern to him very passionately by saying that you weren't in Selma, you don't remember the civil rights marches and how the Southern police wash people up in the arrests and all this kind of stuff. And you have his and it's like there's plenty of time to go for that kind of press. And the trouble is, of course, another thing too is that examine the press corps. Curious thing.
I think you have your little check. You're finding your complex among many of them on Vietnam. You know Howard Smith's background on this, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Is his son dead or
no?
Terribly injured.
He was very badly
maimed for life.
He was shot at for 2 solid days with rifle fire from trees.
Right. One thing you will find in ambush is this, but Robbie checked the Yale class. Only one of the little sons of bitches has ever went to Vietnam or was going.
One. Yeah, and they've got to give the commencement address that I feel terrible about two people all
trying to Well, I ask your answer now. You were here for a war, too. That was your army afterwards. I was there in 47. We just bombed the shit out of them. We killed them with civilians by the hundreds of thousands. We creamed the goddamn place.
It was terrible.
You were 5 years old when World War II ended. Terrible. Henry is in the war, the Third Army. And incidentally, the Germans had a hellish lot of horrible things before the war and after. But the point is, we did all these things. Now the question is, here I am, Quaker, and the opposition to the Tsarite. Moral to bomb Germany, to bomb civilians, was the moral even engaged in war? You say no. It's also the American army created some horrible atrocities in the war. They were the most. And you know, American soldiers have traditionally pretty goddamn atrocious bastards. You know what they did with the little Indian babies in the Indian Wars? They'd pick them up and bash their brains on in Iraq. That's what they did. They stole them. And you know, there's crap about morality. What you really get down to is this. Getting down to World War II. And there's the other side of it. Moral to bomb the German cities. It would be more moral to let Hitler conquer Europe and perhaps the world. Let them think on that. That's the point. That's the question of morality. That's the question of morality in Vietnam. It's maybe more moral. Is it more moral to send Americans out and not back them up with the armed force of this country? Is it more moral to allow the communists to take over the South Vietnamese and have a bloodbath in South Vietnam? What is moral? It's too bad. We live in a world where it's unbelievable, isn't it, Henry?
And these people who never report atrocities on the other side, who never can muster any outrage when tens of thousands of Czechs get deported and things like that. When it happens...
The Czechs? Oh, shit, they're killed. You know that. Deported, killed. In World War II, I'm telling you, besides that, what's Roman say about that? I know how his feelings are.
Well, he'd say that World War II was
a moral war.
Was a moral war, and this is an immoral war.
Why? Because we were fighting communism one time and fascism then?
Yeah, and because they would say, I'm just giving you their argument.
Because this is a civil war.
That's it.
No,
that's what they would say.
Nah. I'm just saying the American people get the point there. What is the question? Are you going to be against a fascist world or a communist world? As cold as that.
Oh, yes. I agree.
The other was a moral war because we did everything we could to defeat the enemy, and this is an immoral war because we don't.
Sure.
We're sitting with our guys being killed without that one.
We'll have fun.
Okay.
I am
Don't let us get you down. You'll keep them on. Let me say, you keep right on that subject of demonstrations.
Their performance, and Mr. President, gives me a great deal.
Look at the, there's an odd cover on that.
Secondly, two other things. Henley Donovan called yesterday and he said he wants me to come up and he wants to invite a number of top executives from New York and present our foreign policy.
I'll tell you why. That's one for him, none for you. Now I'll tell you why. I don't want you to do it. Henry, we got to put that down in a fine line. The manager cut this up to pieces. Now let me tell you what he's up to. Henry Don is having you as bait for his advertisers, just as Jim Shepherd had me for that little group they take around. Don't you go, you're too late.
Well, I wouldn't do it without checking.
My point is, I wouldn't mind your going up and doing the top executives. Let Flanagan invite me at the top executives, but not Henley Donovan. Don't give the son of a bitch a thing.
Now, Schultz did that. He went up for one of those Henley Donovan things. He came back thoroughly disgusted. He said, all I was a goddamn shield for them to have their commercial benefit.
It's, the purpose of that is to use you for the purpose of their advertising.
Okay.
And don't you go.
I will go
under no circumstances. I'm not doing this. I don't like the son of a bitch.
I don't know.
I said, I'm sorry. Well, he said, I'm sorry. And now, Mike Coles, I used to do those for the vice president for years as an old friend. They still stick us, but now then you get a good term. But not with Henley Donovan. That is worth it. It's you're just a shill for that's what it is.
I haven't thought of it.
Well, you go, look, if you went, I wouldn't care at all if you were to go up for even Doran Cousins. That wouldn't bother me. But not Henley Donovan.
It's
pure business proposition.
No, I thought of it, but you are absolutely right. Same I thought that this was one way by which he could square himself with us by sort of putting himself behind our foreign policy.
No, he won't.
But that isn't his purpose.
His purpose is to be his. His purpose is to dazzle his advertisers with Henry powerful people as he's drawn.
Yeah.
You just tell him, I'm sorry if you're busy. And that's exactly the line they use.
And the Times wants me to come and meet with their editorial board.
The Times, no. This is the right time.
Does it make any difference?
Well, let me think a minute on that.
Although
I wouldn't mind that. I don't think it'd do any harm.
Because we're on the upswing there now.
Yes, I would do the Times. I would not do Time for this reason. We have sucked around, we've kissed their ass, we've done their pictures, we've screwed around with them, and they have kicked us in the groin over and over and over again. Time magazine is part of the John Gardner establishment. The New York Times is against us and has always been and will continue to be. Except that you may need to go up and dazzle them a little. But by God, maintenance is a very strong stand in Vietnam.
Do you care if I skip the Somoza dinner tonight?
Oh, right, I would skip it. Hell yes. Now, incidentally, I am
the prestige in the international community of Plummet Bamberg. We know the streamer and buddy.
Go ahead.
Just one more thing.
Sure.
I'll be probably asking for you you're saying, as you said before, that you're not going to take political questions in the press conference.
Correct.
I'll be,
well, I think it's not at all.
They'll say, well, does this mean until 1972, or what's that mean? And
yeah.
What I think I'll say is that the president, just as he stated, doesn't intend to use the presidential press conference as a form to talk about politics.
That's right. That's
when
right.
Will it end? I don't think he ever intends to try.
That's right. I do not intend to use the presidential press conference at any time. At any time. When will he talk about politics? Whenever. Only when he's in a partisan forum. You say that. Only in a partisan forum. What about the press? Well, you're there covering the partisan forum. You get a chance. But he is, and he has no plans to do that.
We're due to the period where we change our mind.
What do you mean? What? In the press conference? I'm definitely never going to. No, I will never use a press conference. Never use a press conference for a political question. It would destroy one of our greatest strengths. The press conference should always be used for non-partisan questions. On politics, it will not be used except
where the press can get at it on politics if we decide ever to do it. It's like at an airport, not a call press conference, but at a press availability or whatever you want to call it.
I wouldn't get into that.
Well, I don't say that, but that's where you're down the line.
Well, when you get down the line and you get into campaign, then it's a candidate's press conference. It isn't a presidential press conference. You see my point?
I hope that never gets to the end.
Just say it. You just won't use it. I'm just going to stick with it. Just stick right with it. Screw them, I would say.
I just...
That really knocks them through. The fact that you're sitting there wanting to ask all these questions. They don't get any questions on that. Doesn't help us build up the other people. Okay. Are they squealing about that?
Well, I guess so. Go ask me about it. They squeal about it.
Why, what's he going to do? Why can't we have it? And don't you ever respond. You can say, John, I don't think you're responding to the questions in my briefing case.
I thought I would say, well, I can't answer that question, gentlemen, because of
it's political.
I won't answer the briefing.
That's political. Yes. Question. Yes. I'm also, that's kind of like, tell let hate come if he wants. Your place to be. You ought to sit there and listen to it. God damn it, I got to see him for half hour before the dinner. If it's purely for the purpose of hell, Stan has already been a doctor.
Well, there's one issue that he's going to raise, which is the $100,000 to Torrientos, a Cuban.
Well, I think
well, I just think you should say it. We'll deal with him through other channels.
You've given me something.
Yeah, that's right. It's just best for you to be dissociated from that.
Well, this is one of those things. I really don't have Don Hughes. It's his 25th year.
Dinner.
It's a gracious thing.
Oh, it's a nice, and he's a good friend of ours.
Yeah, that's right. He's a goddamn dictator, and he's finding a way to continue it, which is disgusting to me. But what the hell? Better than having a...
No, I think... No, I think it's the right thing to do. Having the dinner is the right thing to do.
Okay, see you later.
Right.
What other pearls of wisdom did you get from Bannon?
Yeah, yeah, it's a very interesting one. He says, looking the poll over, the whole taking the overview, and there's a lot of questions I haven't reviewed with you. So it's absolutely clear to him, and he has no doubt whatsoever, that there is no factor affecting people that matters except the war. What we think. It colors everything. It's where your position is, and for instance, we ask them to rank you as a family man, diplomat, statesman, and all that kind of thing. You come out fine in most things. The worst thing you come out as, and it's very, very low, is military strategies. He says that's a factor of the war. It's, and on, it goes across the board. You read it into all the different things. And he says the other thing, which is basically the other side of the same coin, is that there is no theme or anything that comes through that this is on a positive basis for this administration at all. Nothing. Except the strength of the president. The man comes through, but that's all. But that
So he thinks that that's probably the job of the National Council.
Well, he said if you're going into war, if the war isn't going to be there, then you have a great opportunity, because as you remove the overriding thing, you've got the opportunity to take the initiative in establishing what is going to be there. But when you ask people what they think, they don't think anything.
Not a very important thing to get across to Irwin's group.
Very. And that's, I'd like to spend a little time with John on some of this poll without getting into
because basically, point. Doesn't that bear out the point that I think we just scattered?
Yeah, and that also, how can we give John that drug and law information?
Well, we're going to get that name across.
But I want John to know what our problem is on it. See, I think he'll be very surprised to see those figures.
Thank you. all of those things fit together. Now, the personal stuff, he thinks, conversely to what we've been concerned about, where we've come through better than we thought. But where are we at? I'm sorry, is the administration lags behind the president?
The administration is that we don't stand for anything. You got to get two or three things and hit them. It's a team. And the law and order team's got to come back in, Bob.
That's right.
We had it last, I bet you told in October of last year we had a law and order, but we don't have it now.
Uh-huh.
What else? Is the enemy using that?
No. At least we didn't get in that because there's nothing on that. So that's the other thing, Jarvis.
Does he need pressure?